This week on Vaticano, relive the most beautiful moments of Pope Francis's trip to Budapest.
The Knights of Columbus.
Sit down with Patrick Kelly, Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus, and find out why they're supporting the important work of the Pontifical North American College. And join us as we continue our series on the apostolates of the American seminarians here in Rome. Vaticano starts now. The Vatican released the Holy Father's message for the 60th anniversary of the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. This year's theme is Vocation, Grace, and Mission. The World Day of Prayer was observed on April the 30th, Good Shepherd Sunday. Speakers at the conference included Cardinal Lazarus Yu Hung Sik, Prefect of the Dicastery for the Clergy, and Father Eamon McLaughlin, official of the same dicastery. Cardinal Lazarus Yu Hung Sik underlined how, from the words Pope Francis has chosen for this message, we can discover the very heart of the good news of the gospel. Each one of us has a place in the heart of God, no one excluded. In his message, the Holy Father explains how no vocation exists without mission to the least, and calls on the faithful to be open to fulfilling the Lord's instructions and not be challenged by existential peripheries.
And so the message is really and truly about prayer for vocations. And I think in the various, the various talks that were given here today, it's important not to forget that the message is that of prayer in particular for all sorts of vocations. The Lord created each and every one of us and has a specific plan for each and every one of us. And that prayer that we come to realize that plan, to realize the Lord's love for us in our life.
The common mission of all of us Christians, Pope Francis continues, is to witness with joy in every situation, with attitudes and words, what we experience by being with Jesus and in his community, which is the church. The Holy Father also touches on the importance of being merciful and creating a lifestyle which is welcoming and compassionate.
The message really from the Dicastery is to invest all our resources possible for the pastoral care vocation, promoting vocations, encouraging vocations, and in particular that's a synodal, very much a synodal approach, that it's an approach of the entire community, not solely, obviously, of priests, but of everybody, beginning with the family.
In his message, Pope Francis also refers to the upcoming World Youth Day in Lisbon in August. Following Mary's example, the Holy Father hopes people attending the event in Portugal will be ready to encounter a profound experience with Jesus. On April the 26th at Rome's Catholic Lumsa University, an encounter entitled Archives of a Political Laboratory, Rome 1943 to 1944, took place. The Congress was organized with the aim of telling the story, thanks to the opening of the archives from the pontificate of Pius XII, of the actions and the role of the Holy See during the liberation of Rome from Nazi fascism in 1944.
In fact, there was an assistance given to the resistance, especially attempts to intervene with the Germans for all of those who were arrested and condemned, sent to Via Tasso. Attempts also to save people.
At the address, Via Tasso number 145, was where the Nazi High Command established the SS's jail and headquarters in Rome. Despite the ferocious context of violence generated by the war, Rome also became a political laboratory, decisive for the pouring of the foundations for Italy's future democratic structure.
There were naturally all of the parties of the territory backing up those who were effectively guiding the fight of the resistance. And this unity, this connection, also included the church.
This union, fostered by a huge impulse from Catholics, served to begin the constituent process, which culminated in 1948, with the promulgation of the Constitution of the Italian Republic.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from Pope Francis and the Vatican. In his traditional press conference aboard the return flight to Rome from Budapest, Pope Francis spoke to reporters about the Holy See's efforts to facilitate the return to Ukraine of Ukrainian children taken to Russia during the war. Now, the International Criminal Court last month issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Vladimir Putin and Russia's Children's Commissioner, accusing them of war crimes for abducting children from Ukraine. The Vatican announced that there will be lay people participating as voting members in the Synod on Synodality's October Assembly. Now, this is a break with past custom. The General Assembly of the Synod on Synodality will take place in two sessions, in October of 2023 and October of 2024. Now, the biggest change announced was the removal of the auditor role. In past synods, auditors included priests, religious, and lay people who did not have the right to vote in synod deliberations. Now, these 70 members will be able to vote. According to new statistics published in April of the 25th by the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Korea, there were 5,949,000 baptized Catholics in 2022. Now, this is a rise of 0.2% from the previous year. Catholics account for more than 11% of the nation's population, which shrank by 104,000, so that was 52.5 million in 2022. Now, Catholicism took root in the country in the late 1700s and grew amid intense persecution. The Church's growth in the past 30 years has been described as explosive and a model for other Catholic communities. The Catholic Church in Cuba is in the position to lead a dialogue and propose a transition from communism to a free society. These are the words of Father Alberto Reyes of the Archdiocese of Camagüey. Now, in recent months, the economic and social situation has worsened in Cuba, where according to a report from the Cuban Observatory for Human Rights, 72% of the inhabitants live below the poverty line and only 14% expect their personal situation to improve in the near future. Now, Pope Francis has said he would like to visit his home country of Argentina in 2024. He said, "I want to go to the country next year." Now, the Pope said this to the Argentinian journalist Joaquin Morales Sola. Now, since his election in 2013, Pope Francis has never returned to his home country of Argentina. In a March interview, he explained that a trip to Argentina had been planned in 2017, but had to be canceled because of his elections. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Benjamin Crockett for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano.
Бегом.
Pare di assistere al triste testimonio del sogno corale di pace mentre si fanno spazio i solisti della guerra.
Pope Francis shared these stark words with the civil authorities of Hungary while on his trip to the Central European country.
Nel mondo in cui viviamo, tuttavia, la passione per la politica comunitaria e per la multilateralità sembra un bel ricordo del passato.
Pope Francis returned to Rome on the evening of Sunday, April the 30th from Budapest, completing his 41st apostolic voyage abroad. During his three-day visit, Pope Francis engaged in seven different events and delivered six speeches. The motto for this papal trip was "Christ is our future," an apt theme to carry with him following his brief stop in Hungary in September of 2021 for the conclusion of the country's International Eucharistic Congress. At the time, Francis pledged to return to the country. Hungary is a historically Christian nation with a rich tradition. In Budapest itself, the city of bridges was forged 150 years ago out of three separate cities. While there was much joy on the part of the Hungarians for the Holy Father's visit, there was a palpable cloud hanging over the entire stay. That cloud was the war raging in nearby Ukraine. Hungary and Ukraine share 85 miles of border. 150,000 ethnic Hungarians live in western Ukraine. Hungary has welcomed 1.5 million war refugees from Ukraine since Russia invaded the country.
Il corpo diplomatico.
Pope Francis spoke about showing openness to others when he addressed Hungary's government on the first day of his visit on Friday. He met with Prime Minister Viktor Orban and with President Katalin Novak.
Che bello invece costruire un'Europa centrata sulla persona e sui popoli, dove vi siano politiche effettive per la natalità e la famiglia. Abbiamo paesi in Europa con la media d'età di 46-48 anni. Perseguite con attenzione in questo paese dove nazioni diverse siano una famiglia in cui si custodiscono la crescita e la singolarità di ciascuno.
On the second day of the papal trip, Pope Francis met with blind and disabled children and traveled to St. Elizabeth's Church, where he met the refugees and poor gathered there. After his morning appointments, Pope Francis held a meeting with Archbishop Hilarion, the Russian Orthodox Metropolitan Archbishop of Budapest in Hungary, who previously served as the head of the Department of External Relations of the Patriarchate of Moscow. Holy Father then met with 12,000 young people at the city's sports stadium, urging them to reach out to the vulnerable and encouraging them to accept Christ's forgiveness. On the third day, while speaking to more than 50,000 people gathered in the capital's Kossuth Lajos Square during an outdoor mass on Good Shepherd Sunday, Pope Francis called on Hungarians to be open and inclusive, reflecting on how Jesus wants his flock to share the abundant life they've received from him. Throughout the packed three-day visit, Pope Francis's message warning against the evils of abortion and gender ideology during his address to the civil authorities carried a strong resonance in the Christian nation.
E questa la via nefasta delle colonizzazioni ideologiche che eliminano le differenze, come nel caso della cosiddetta cultura gender, che eliminano le differenze. O antepongono alla realtà della vita concetti riduttivi di libertà, ad esempio vantando come conquista un insensato diritto all'aborto, che è sempre una tragica sconfitta.
While Pope Francis has praised the country for being a leader in combating gender ideology and assisting persecuted Christians in other countries, the Holy Father and Prime Minister Viktor Orban have been at odds on the Prime Minister's call to curb migrants from the Middle East and Africa. Pope Francis reminds us to welcome the stranger and that God's loving embrace is for everyone.
Gesù, buon pastore, ci chiama per nome e si prende cura di noi con infinita tenerezza. Egli è la porta e chi entra attraverso di lui ha la vita eterna. Egli dunque è il nostro futuro, un futuro di vita in abbondanza.
Founded on the principles of charity, unity, and fraternity, the Knights of Columbus was established in 1882 by Father Michael J. McGivney and a group of parishioners. Their intent, to bring financial aid and assistance to the sick, disabled, and needy members and their families. Patrick Kelly, the current Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus, was in Rome visiting the Pontifical North American College.
The Knights of Columbus.
EWTN's Vatican Bureau Chief Andreas Thonhauser spoke to him about the importance of the college to the Knights of Columbus.
The North American College in Rome. Why is it important to have such an institution here in Rome for U.S. seminarians?
I think the North American College is so crucial for U.S. seminarians because of the broad formation that it provides. So it does a wonderful job of providing an educational formation and a spiritual formation. But also, and I think this is crucial, it provides a pastoral formation for the men studying here so they can be better priests, but also human formation, right? So it provides them a formation in really what it means to be human and what it means to relate to one another. I know the faculty on the North American College do a great job of that, of bringing all these things together and trying to prepare these men for what they will experience when they're priests. The other thing too I think is very important about the North American College is it's here in Rome, so it's close to the chair of Peter, right? It's close to the Pope and to the teaching of the Pope. That's a critical experience for our young seminarians who are here. And also just the universality of the church that you see in Rome. It's really the crossroads of the Catholic Church.
Speaking of formation, in your opinion, what does a priest need to learn today? What does a seminarian bring with him to the priesthood?
I think the most important thing he needs to bring with him is the heart of a father, right? I think that fatherly heart, that fatherly desire to really care for the people of his parish, the people under his care. I think that's the crucial thing that he needs to have.
The Knights of Columbus, you personally, why is it important for you to support such an institution like the North American College here in Rome?
We've supported the North American College for many, many years, and it's so important to us because we care about the future of the church. And the future of the church in so many ways is connected to the North American College. But it's also the future of families, the future of families. When you have a priest that I have had in my life, a priest who touches my family, and that has such an incredible impact on everyone. It's an impact that can live for generations. The example of one good priest.
Maybe on that note as well, especially working with young men, be they seminarians or laypersons, what is important? What can they learn also maybe from your founder, but also what do the Knights of Columbus want to convey to these young men for their life?
I think what we can convey to these young men, be it seminarians or be it any young man, is to have a life committed to something bigger than yourself, right? A life of service is ultimately what we are all searching for, a life of real meaning.
And for the North American College, what do you see the challenges for the future? What does this institution also need to prepare for?
Our culture is becoming more and more difficult to be Catholic in. So I think to prepare the men here to have courage, right? To speak the truth of the gospel, to do so boldly, to do so smartly. It's harder now than it was 50 years ago.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano. How does one prepare for the priesthood in the modern world? What can studying in Rome teach you that no other place can? For the next few weeks, we'll be spending some time with seminarians from the Pontifical North American College in Rome as they bring us into their world.
My name is Chukwuma Odigwe. I'm from the Archdiocese of Washington. Before seminary, I had studied engineering at University of Maryland. And afterwards, I spent a year working as an engineer. I never really thought of seminary as something that would be part of my life. The priesthood was something that I was thinking of, but it wasn't something that was on the forefront of my life. Until I had an encounter in college that really helped me to really see that God might be calling me to the priesthood. I go to the Gregorian University, So that's about a 30-minute walk into the city.
We come here to take our classes in theology, but after, we often go to our apostolates.
So we've been serving at the Centro Stali Center for Refugees. And it's been such a blessing because the people we encounter there have great suffering, but they often show great joy. We've been able to serve meals for them, and in preparing those meals, the act is so simple. But many times, we're reminded of how much a difference serving that meal can make in that refugee's life. They have a place for the refugees to eat multiple meals each day. I serve during the lunch hour. These people, they come from so many different experiences, and I imagine many of them have been very traumatizing. But we know that they come from many different countries, many from countries all over Africa, some from Latin America. I think we met one, at least from Ukraine. And they all have various wounds. You know that they're far from home, and they come to this place seeking some sort of accompaniment. And so when they arrive at that center, what they really need is just someone to really accept them and to give them the meal that they need to keep going. There was one visitor who came, and it seemed like he was having a very rough day. And he received his meal, and he wasn't exactly ready to leave the center. And he was going back and forth for at least close to an hour. At some point, he walked past me as I was preparing a tray to get to somebody. And I just smiled and said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And in that moment, he seemed to just feel very comfortable with speaking with me about all the things that are going on in his life. He spoke about how since coming here, it's been very rough for him, how he's, in that particular moment, he's struggling with being on the streets, explaining how in the midst of all this, he wants to be closer to God, but it's just very hard for him in these circumstances. It's very important for us to remember that God is always with us in all of our scenarios and all of our sufferings in life, and that while we can be in different places, you know, at a new job, or we can be at a new high school, we can be in Rome in a seminary that's far from home, we always know that God is with us. And because we have God with us, because we have a Father always with us, there's always someone who knows us. I'm always surprised that many of them are so joyful. They're so happy that we're there. I remember one time I was with a fellow seminarian volunteer, and one of the visitors came in, and he just looked at the person I was with, and he said, "You are number one." And we were just surprised. We were like, "We should be saying that to you, right?" This is a sign that there's often a great joy in the center. So it's always a blessing to be there in that moment, to bring Christ into these moments these people are having that can be very difficult. And I think one great takeaway is just the power that we have as priests to really impact people going through suffering. And that's something that I hope to take with me going forward.